Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Privirajaka Charasha Astotra Sutta Sri Simad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Privirajaka Charasha Astotra Sutta Sri Simad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Anantikoti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sigaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopu Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giri Gopardhan ki jai. Sri Brindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Ganga Mayi ki jai. Yamuna Mayi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Samabeda Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Rishir Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Maharaj Harish Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavat Mahatmyam Bhagavat Bhaktivardhanam Sri Rishir Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Harish Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Sri Rishir Uvacha Sadhu Prishta Maharaja Harish Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavat Bhakti Vardhanam Sri Rishir Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Harish Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavat Bhakti Vardhanam
Rishi Uvacha.
the sage Shukadev Goswami said, Sadhu, excellent, Prishtam, inquiry, Maharaj, O great king, Hare, of the Supreme Lord, Hari, Charitam, activities, Adbhutam, wonderful, Yat, from which Bhagavat, of the Lord's devotee Prahlad, Mahatmayam, the glories, Bhagavad Bhakti, devotion to the Lord, Vardhanam, increasing. The great sage Shukadev Goswami said, My dear King, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of his devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hari. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, Shukadev Goswami offers his respectful obeisances, Krishnaya Munaye, which means to Krishna Dvapayana Vyas. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. Shukadev Goswami's spiritual master is his father, Vyasadeva, and therefore he first offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, and then begins describing topics of Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, one must take it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should always engage in Krishna Katha by chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about him. That is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person. Om Agyan Timidandasya Kyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatishva Padantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jataham Sahagana Raghunatham Vidham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Sri Vishakam Vidhamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari. kalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The great sage Shukadev Goswami said, My dear king, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of his devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Shukadev Goswami. Why, if the Supreme Lord Vishnu is impartial, the well-wisher of everyone, does he favor Indra to protect him and battle against, often annihilate, the asuras? How is this impartial? Now, for some of us, it may be an obvious thing. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. The Lord tells us in Gita, he comes to this world to protect the innocent, in this case, the demigods, and annihilate the miscreants, the demons, and reestablish the principles of religion. So he's stating that right out. And also, he's doing it. Again and again. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Krishna tells in Gita that I'm impartial. I don't favor anyone. I'm everyone's well-wisher. So we find that Maharaj Parikshit is not just listening. He's hearing very, very attentively. It's not just the ritual. He's deeply trying to understand every word that Shukadev Goswami is speaking. That is the nature of a sense of urgency. When there's an urgent crisis that's right in front of you, usually you become extremely attentive in that situation. When things are just going along, the tendency is to just go along with it. In order for the message of Krishna to deeply enter our hearts and transform our consciousness, we must intensely be hearing and intensely chanting. Because Krishna tells in Gita that he reciprocates according to how we approach him. If we approach Krishna in a leisurely way, then Krishna will give us some leisurely realization of him. If we approach Krishna very urgently, desperately, with great need, then Krishna will give us a very intense experience of his presence in our life. You see, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the five principal items of devotional service. And especially these five principles have to be taken very, very seriously. When we are forgetful about the predicament of material existence, we take things lightly. And that's when Maya gets us, when we're off guard. Yes? Just like sometimes ghosts attack people when they're sleeping. Hare Krishna. Because you're completely off guard. Even Indra, when Diti fell asleep, right? He just went right into her womb to kill the kid. So as long as we're intensely taking shelter of the Lord, Maya cannot touch us. To the degree we're intensely taking shelter of the Lord, Maya cannot. She can allure us through temptations, but she cannot overcome us. Because Krishna is there to help us. But if we're casually taking shelter of Krishna, Maya has the power to infiltrate and overcome our consciousness. Maybe all at once, maybe little by little by little. Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live. We're already in the seventh canto. So several days have already passed. For him, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam was his all in life. It was everything. He wasn't worried about, the grades of his children in school. He wasn't worried about any economic crises that may have been looming over his head. He understood death is coming. It's not only coming, it's here. That was his state. So he was listening carefully. He wanted to understand every detail to his capacity. It's not that that Parikshit Maharaj was just kind of waiting, tolerating these lower chapters. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm just waiting for the Rasa Leela to come. It wasn't like that. He understood, if I want to approach the Rasa Leela or Krishna's more higher pastimes, I must deeply understand everything here. Because you see, this question today is very, very important. He's trying to understand Krishna. Krishna's inconceivable. He's a chuta. But still, according to our capacity, we want to understand Krishna. We want to know Krishna. And the process of learning, of knowing, is to hear from those who know Krishna. Can't believe it. Is that Namananda Prabhu? Of all people.
to have cell phone go off in class.
Amazing, amazing.
I'm sure it will never happen again, though. Thank you very much. He was so absorbed in the class, he almost forgot to turn off the ringer. That was the thing. So absorbed, he forgot to turn off the ringer.
Shukadeva Goswami is so happy with this question. Because it gives him an opportunity to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the loving relationships between the Lord and his devotees. This verse, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that such wonderful topics about the Lord and his devotees always counteract the miseries of materialistic way of life. Always. But of course, the power is there. But how much we access the power is based on our receptivity. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. The first principle of receiving knowledge is to approach an authority, a guru, and be submissive. If we are not submissive, we are not receptive. If we think we know, even if we know a lot of good things, and even if those good things are right, still, if we're in an imperfect state and we think we know, that attachment to our own knowledge, it blocks the mercy from flowing deeply into our hearts. Because Krishna consciousness is not about academic information stored in our brain. It's about accessing the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, the first principle is to be submissive. And how to be submissive? Krishna showed us through his own devotees. Bhagavad Gita, as long as Arjuna thought he knew, he could hear from Krishna, but he couldn't really absorb it. So Krishna did not bother to even speak to him until he was submissive. Karpanya doso bahatas vabhava prichchami tvam dharma samutache. He was put in such a crisis situation that he came to this realization. This battle is before me, and there's loved ones, people I respect, people who it's my duty to honor, and they are on the other side. I have to fight them and kill them. He was very, very much confused. Serious crisis. He tried to work it out in his own mind, with his own intelligence, but it was impossible. Like a fly in the web of a spider. The more it tries to get out on its own, the more it becomes entangled. Prahlad Maharaj tells that material solutions to material problems, the solution creates a bigger problem than the original problem in due course of time. But
one of the greatest downfalls of humanity, historically, is very few people, including the greatest leaders, really have a vision of seeing the whole picture and how our decisions will affect the future. We become so caught up in the moment to resolve the conflict of the moment. We make our elaborate plans, but how is that actually going to affect the future of my life, future of the world? Yes? Science and technology, so much. So many comforts and benefits are being created. Why? Because they make money. And actually, even medical industry, you know, they're making drugs that might cure a certain illness, but most of it, it's being sponsored and funded by these massive drug companies. And they want that to make money. Yes? They want the drug to make money. They may care about your health too. But one of the reasons they care about their health more than other people is because they're going to profit from it. So if they find something that's going to help you, government regulations and everything, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, checking and balancing. But we see oftentimes create something worse. The industry of today, common sense. Even back when they first started industries, it's common sense. If you do a little research, it's going to pollute the environment, and more people are going to start doing it because it's successful and it's profit-making, and soon the whole ecology is going to fall to pieces. Anybody who's sincere could have figured that out in the 1920s. But no one was really thinking of that. You can't say they were bad. They just didn't even think about that. They were thinking about the now or the near future. So today, yes, there are scientific investigations and scientific research and trying to create all these different new technologies of biology and so forth. And it may appear, this is great. But it could be the downfall of civilization. We don't know. Mahatma means one who is broad-minded. Broad-minded means that seeing the whole picture. Not only seeing the past and the present, and not only tomorrow and the next year, but seeing in the future, in terms of eternity, to that extent. That is why sometimes different predicaments took place. Srila Prabhupada would fight like a hero at Radharas Bihari Temple. He was battling against forces materially far more powerful. He didn't have a chance. And devotees were very much flustered and frustrated and confused. They were diseased. In fact, the main warrior of Srila Prabhupada at that time was His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who was arriving at 11:30 today in Bombay. Not here, but at the airport. But he will be coming here after almost 10 years of not being in India. So I have to end class soon because I'm going to the airport to collect, to greet. offer my obeisances and gratitude to him. Yes, when Prabhupada was dealing with that situation, he wasn't just seeing a little piece of land way out in the suburbs of Bombay, which wasn't even a good place for a temple. He was looking years, he was seeing from the eternal platform. He was seeing the whole picture, everything. So the miseries of material existence, they are there. Shukadeva Goswami says that just hearing and speaking the topics of the Lord always counteracts the miseries of materialistic life. But we must very, very seriously, with a submissive consciousness, hear. That was Arjuna's situation. He was miserable. He became submissive. I don't know, Krishna, tell me. Then his heart was ready to receive knowledge. An illiterate person who's submissive will get more benefit in the association of a saintly person than a learned scholar who can cite 100,000 slokas, who doesn't have that submission. Because Krishna's bhavagrahi, he sees our sentiment. He doesn't need our knowledge, but he wants our love. So yes, Parikshit Maharaj, cursed to die in 7 days. He was already a great devotee. But here he's very, very submissive. And Shukadeva Goswami says, if we hear with this submissiveness, without fail, this message will elevate you to a transcendental platform by which all miseries of material existence are counteracted. Therefore, great sages like Narada are always hearing and chanting and giving others the facility to hear and chant. Para upakar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that this hearing and chanting process to facilitate others in this path is the greatest welfare work there is. Because what is welfare about? It's simply about counteracting the miseries of material existence. Yes? You don't hear much about welfare work to people on Malabar Hill. You hear about welfare work to people in the ghettos, to people in tsunami relief or earthquake relief, because they're suffering. Material miseries have just crushed upon them. So to counteract miseries is welfare. But a Mahatma, one who sees the whole picture, understands. Give a person food, they're going to be hungry again. Give a person medical relief, they're still going to grow old, get diseased, and die. And the same thing's going to happen to the wealthy people, just in a different way. The same miseries, just different style. Yes? You can die of cancer wearing a gumsha, or you can die of cancer wearing your elegant marriage gowns with nice gold and earrings and mascaras. Give me my wedding dress, I'm dying. Is there a difference? Yes, there is, to some people. Oh, she died in her wedding dress. Died in a gamsha. Life is spoiled. I don't know if ladies wear gumshas. Because, you know, I'm a sannyasi, I don't know all these things. So, it's like that. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Whether you go through the process as a great, prosperous hero who has made the front page of the Financial Times dozens of times, or whether you go through birth, old age, disease, and death as a brahmachari on the floor of the ashram. It's just different dresses. What does it say? He missed his flight. Really? He missed his flight. No comment. I was once with him, and he missed 3 flights in a row. Seriously. Because he just gets so much absorbed with people. It's time to go, but he talks to somebody, and then, Maharaj, it's time to go. Soon, Maharaj, it's too late. You make another, change the flight, and he talks to somebody else. Maharaj, it's time to go, and he's just so absorbed. He's too much in the mode of goodness for this Kali Yuga scheduling. Amazing. But I won't make any comment. So, can only worship his lotus feet. Where was I? Huh? Oh, yes. We were talking about whether ladies wear gumshoes. So what is the difference? Old age, disease, and death. Just passing through it in a different dress, in a different house. But the purpose of human life is to counteract birth, old age, disease, and death. And this Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan is the means by which Krishna has given us to counteract birth, old age, disease, and death. Now, everyone may have their opinion, but Krishna has created this material existence. He knows how it works. He knows why it works. And he's also given us the way to counteract it. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. That the means to it to rise above all fear is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Therefore, it is the greatest welfare. It solves the problem. Finishes birth, old age, disease, and death. enlightens the eternal soul. And restores our relationship with Krishna.
Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata.
There's no other way.
Shukadev Goswami is so grateful to Parikshit Maharaj because he's so submissive.
Shukadev Goswami knows that whatever I'm going to speak to him is going to save his life forever because he's so submissive. He's compassionate.
Shukadev Goswami is not just speaking because he's going to get some respectability of being the one chosen to speak this Bhagavatam in front of everyone else.
Very prestigious event. The most prestigious katha in history. With the assembly of the greatest scholars and sadhus ever. And he's being asked to speak to a king. Very prestigious. But he doesn't care anything for prestige. He only cares one thing, to save Parikshit Maharaj's life. He's going to die in 7 days. How to save his life? By saving his soul. And this is the way to do it, by speaking Hari Katha.
So he's very, very much appreciating and grateful Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj is receiving it. If you really want to give something to someone in a spirit of compassion, that you will feel indebted and grateful to that person if they receive it. Because we don't want anything for ourselves, we only want for you. So the greatest thing you can do for me is just accept it. Srila Prabhupada was asked, what can we do to repay you for this debt? You have given us everything. You've pulled us right out of the lowest modes of ignorance and passion. You've given us Krishna consciousness. How can we repay you? Prabhupada didn't want money. Prabhupada didn't want anything. Except, he said, you can repay me by accepting what I'm giving you and sharing it with others. And those who preach the message of the Lord, the greatest treasure to find is someone who urgently, submissively wants to hear. That's treasure. That's wealth. Because there we can, our service can have very, very substantial effects. Prabhupada said, better one moon than thousands of stars. So yes, we may give class to 10,000 people. Of course, 10,000 moons are better than one moon. But if one person, if even one person is seriously, submissively hearing, that is a great treasure. That is what a compassionate preacher is longing for. To really help someone. Shukadev Goswami begins this sector of the Bhagavatam. Because this question, he's ecstatic by this question of Parikshit Maharaj. Because he knows how he's going to answer it. And this answer is not only going to
thoroughly enlighten Parikshit Maharaj, but it's going to thoroughly enlighten for all eternity anybody who hears it. He's going to speak the story of Prahlad and Lord Narasingadev and Srila Prabhupada said, Sriman Hiranyakashipu. In a lecture, Prabhupada, right, he speaks how we should offer our obeisances and to be very grateful to Hiranyakashipu. He's done great service for the world. Yes, because without him, nobody would ever appreciate Prahlad. No one would have ever taken seriously his teachings, and we would have never seen the form of Narasingadev. So Shukadev Goswami, this is the key, the essence of transcendental life, what we're about to see right here. Parikshit Maharaj is totally submissive. He's longing to hear with great attention. He's really, really, really listening because he understands its birth, its life and death. I have to understand this. I'll give a gross analogy. You're flying an airplane as a pilot, and all the controls start going out, and you don't know what to do. You're absolutely flustered because you only know how to fly an airplane with the controls. All the controls are gone, and you're crashing. You're just going down, and the air traffic control tower is telling you there's only one way to save your plane. Now listen to my directions. Now you're not going to have time to repeat it because you're going down. You can't say, well, you know, I kind of spaced out. Can you repeat that again? You're like, and he's saying you have to first, you know, turn this knob, and then you have to turn this, and then you say, you're going down, you know, our tendency, well, I can space out. If I space out in class today, you know, I'll just listen to the tape. It's not a problem, because, you know, there's a tape ministry. I'll just listen again. Fall asleep. Just go and read it later, no problem. That may be true. But when you're listening to the tape, you'll do the same thing. That's the problem. There has to be this sense of urgency. There has to be. If your plane's going down and the air traffic control person is telling you, no, you have to do, you pull this lever here and turn this switch here, your life and soul is going to be so absolutely attuned to every word he says. Do you agree? Just put yourself in that situation. Don't just listen. You're there. Your plane's going down. You don't know what to do. You're absolutely bewildered. And somebody's telling you what to do, and if you don't do it exactly perfect now, you're dead. You're attentive to every word. And if you don't understand something, you're going to ask it. Yes? That was Parikshit Maharaj's mood. He was submissive. Now, Shukadeva Goswami, why is he the person who's speaking? Because he's also completely submissive. He's in the same mood as Parikshit. That's how he's receiving knowledge. Therefore, he is not just speaking what he knows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of the Lord. a real preacher, a one who is in parampara, never thinks I know. Just as Parikshit Maharaj is submissively taking shelter of Shukadev Goswami to hear, Shukadev Goswami is taking shelter of Vyasadev to hear before he speaks. Whatever he heard, whatever he knows, he has received from Vyasadev. It's not his knowledge. It's a gift. It's a gift of God coming through parampara. So he's showing his gratitude. Without gratitude, the heart cannot receive blessings. Blessings could come, but they cannot go into the heart unless the heart is grateful. You can throw seeds in the ground, but unless this ground is fertile, the seeds will just dry up and die. For all of us, so many blessings are coming every day. Just because we're getting the blessings, it doesn't mean we're going to greatly benefit. We benefit by how we receive the blessings. When our heart is fertile through gratitude, through a sense of urgent need, receptivity. So, Shukadev Goswami, he understands that whatever I'm going to speak is not my words. It's by the grace of my guru. And therefore, he offers his obeisances to his guru. He shows his gratitude to his guru. He prays to his guru to empower him to speak. Srila Prabhupada, when he spoke to us, such profound knowledge saved so many people's lives. But always in his heart, and at times he would express it, I'm only repeating the words of my Guru Maharaj. That is my only qualification. Very powerful statement. He didn't say that's part of my qualification. He said it is my only qualification for everything he did in the service of Krishna. For every life he salvaged from Maya. His only qualification is he heard submissively from his Gurudev and he was repeating that message. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us he wasn't necessarily the most erudite scholar amongst his god brothers or other Vaishnavas. He was a great scholar. But he was not necessarily the most erudite. He admitted that himself. But why was he empowered to do what nobody else could even attempt to do? Because he had the full power of Krishna with him. Why? Because he considered that his only qualification was he heard submissively from his Guru Maharaj and he was repeating that message. You see, we can use our creative intelligence to try to affect people's lives. And that's good, we're supposed to. Prabhupada wanted us to use our intelligence according to time, place, and circumstance to reach people's hearts. That creativity is the duty of a disciple. But the real substance that transforms people's hearts is that flow of mercy that comes when we adopt this spirit of Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. That my only qualification is I'm just hearing from my Guru Maharaj and I'm repeating those words. It's not about me. It's about the power of Guru's mercy. I'm just an instrument. When we surrender to just being an instrument, we become divinely empowered. When we think we're the doer, we're done. Then we do. Blank bullets sound exactly like real bullets. You know what blank bullets are. It means it's a bullet. The gunpowder and everything's there, but nothing comes out. It just makes the exact same sound. It's in case you were sleeping. Yes? Person has a blank bullet. Person has a real bullet. Sounds the same. Maybe not because of my imperfect. It sounds the same. But one has substance and one has no substance. So two devotees may be speaking the same words. One may have minimal substance, one may have maximum substance. What determines the substance? That we consider that our only qualification is I'm just repeating the words of my spiritual master. That is Shukadeva Goswami's realization. Govinda Charan Devi. Govinda Charan Devi Prabhu is now leaving for Kerala. And it has been such a joy to have her association here. And she is, in my heart, she is representing one of the dearest disciples of Prabhupada and godbrothers of my own heart, Matsyavatar Prabhu, who, by the way, selected and shipped the marble for our walls, chose the colors and directed the painting of our ceiling, and selected and sent the covers for all of our furniture, and so many other things. And on behalf of Matsyavatar Prabhu, Govinda Charan Devi has come. We thank you very much. Everyone, please offer your gratitude to her and her guru by loudly chanting. I would say I'm sorry to embarrass you, but I'm not sorry at all. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. And I thank you all very much. He actually missed his flight. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Is there any questions? Yes, Srinathji Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you for this wonderful class and realizations. But while you were speaking, one thing I realized about this very temple, that when Chandrasen Bhatia, the third generation trustee, managing trustee, was dying in Bhatia Hospital of heart attack,
I was reading a message, I'm sorry.
So I was saying that when the third generation, first of all, I thank you for the lecture and this realization, because I had the same realization after you spoke, that when Chandrasen Bhatia, who was the managing trustee, the third grandson of this founder, he was having a heart attack and he was in Bhatia Hospital. I came to know, so I rushed there. So I thought to my mind, what should I do? What would Prabhupada do? What would you do? Or, you know. So I started preaching to him, Bhagavatam. And I don't know what he did at the last minute, but I preached and I left home for my house. But at night he changed the whole will and gave this property to us. In the morning he died.
Srinathji Prabhu, you are not a blank bullet, you are a real bullet. Of your taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada, such substance came that it transformed a man's heart. Not only to remember Krishna at the time of death, but also to perform a service just before he dies that will spiritually benefit hundreds and thousands of people. Thank you very much. Srinathji Prabhu ki. Much louder, please. See, one moon is better than 1,000 stars. But 1,000 moons is better than one moon.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, many a times we hear the message of Bhagavatam and preachers mainly, they speak also, I heard that they point towards the audience, they see their welfare and what is best for them, they speak this. But often it is seen that even the message is coming, but we are not so attentive or able to absorb the message in the heart. So though it is spoken to us, but we are not able to relate, or I am not able to relate with that message, and message even apparently, it's not benefiting. So how to cultivate that, as you were speaking about submissive attitude, so that we can really understand this is spoken for me and I need to put it in my practice?
That is within the power of your free will. We may feel or we may not feel, but with our intelligence we should know that I need this. Unfortunately, sometimes we just have to go through unbearable crises to take it seriously. And sometimes people, even in that unbearable crisis, they don't take it seriously. So we always have our free will. And you have that, we all have that free will right now. We can take it seriously right now, even when the crisis is not so much. We simply have to make that decision. I need this. We have to be sensitive to the reality around us. The example is given of the goat is going to the slaughterhouse and he's just eating grasses in line. Just standing in line with the other goats, just going forward, eating the grass. And when you get to the front, thwack. Your head is severed. So those who are just looking down, they're just eating grass. But if you look a little forward, you see, you understand where you're, what's coming. Yes? So we can't just see life according to what it is now. We have to look ahead. Birth, old age, disease, and death is a reality. What's happening in this world around us is a reality. Yes, we could come to class and just be looking down and eating the grass of just thinking about so many things that are in our mind and so many concerns. But if you look forward and you see what's coming, and it could come any moment, then these things that have so much importance to us now are practically irrelevant. All that matters is Krishna. Yes? You know, you may be all upset that someone hurt my feelings. But if you were falling from the top of a cliff, would that have any relevance, that someone hurt your feelings? All that would matter is how I could fix my mind on Krishna. The reality is, from the time we were born, we were pushed off a cliff and we're falling. It's a reality. We're all falling from that cliff. But so many petty things that really doesn't make any difference, because we don't understand our predicament, we take it so seriously. And we fight about it. And we offend, we make aparads to others on that basis. And we lose Krishna by doing that. If we understand that we're falling, falling faster and faster, then you'll make that choice. That is intelligence. To understand where we're at and what we need. That is real intelligence. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, you spoke about kar paropkar, doing welfare to others by speaking this message. But before that, there is janma sarthak. So if I have not perfected my life, then how do I do welfare to others?
In your question.
Maharaj, in your lecture, you spoke about speaking about Krishna to others and doing para upakar. So for doing that, it is said that first we need to perfect our life by doing janma sarthak. So if I have not yet perfected my life, so how can I do? And even if I do it as a duty, then many times we get carried away by doing so much preaching that we spoil our health, or we do many late night programs. So we don't know where we should stop also. So what is the limit to that paropkar?
To give Krishna consciousness to others is a very essential part of the process of purifying our own heart. In giving, we receive. It is not that we perfect our life, then we preach. Sharing the message of Krishna is an essential part of perfecting our life. Why? Because it's what Lord Chaitanya ordered. It's what Srila Prabhupada ordered. We perfect our life by pleasing Srila Prabhupada within ISKCON. He wants us to preach. That is the path of perfection. But we have to do it in the proper attitude. It's not that we only preach. We access and then we share. We come to the Mangalarti, we chant our rounds very, very sincerely, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we perform menial service, we're accessing mercy by doing that. And then when we speak through our actions, through our words, we're accessing mercy by giving that. We're accessing by taking it, we're accessing it by giving it. But if we don't access by taking it, we have nothing to give. Yes? So yes, preaching is very important. It is, we're doing it as humble servants, as postal peons, to purify our life. If we get caught up by Maya and think I'm great and everybody is honoring me, then we become blank bullet. And if by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, bullets may come out of you to hit them, but they're not affecting you. This can also happen. Well, you can preach and affect other people's lives, but you remain hollow inside. Hare Krishna. So therefore, it is very important that there be balance. If we're preaching so much that our sadhana is not good, we're preaching so much that our health is not good, then we will not be able to access. Eventually, we're going to dry up. So we should regulate. We should have a regulation so that we can maintain the health of a body that belongs to Guru and Krishna for their purpose. Yes? It's like we have our temple vehicles. Well, it's not that we just leave the vehicle in the parking garage because this vehicle belongs to Krishna. So if I go out, it might crash. So I don't want to take any chances. So you just leave it there. There's a purpose for the vehicle. The purpose of the vehicle is to go out and do Krishna's service. So your body's a vehicle. It is to perform Krishna's service. But at the same time, the other extreme of just not using it because it's Krishna's and I don't want anything to happen to it, the other is just forget about oil. I don't have time to put oil in it. I'm too busy using it to preach. Huh? Forget about giving it its proper tune-ups. Forget about washing it. You know, these are all things that it's just, I have too many things to do with this vehicle. Yes? Within a few months, the vehicle's spoiled. Can't go anywhere. Yes? Who's in charge of vehicles at the temple? Keshav Chandra Prabhu. Well, if you come back with the vehicle and the engine's blown out because of no oil and the body's all dented and dirty and everything else, well, he'll say, this is Krishna's vehicle. He'll say, well, I used it for Krishna's service, Prabhu. But you didn't use it properly in Krishna's service, because that vehicle's supposed to last for a long time. Yes? Better that you do 50 years of wonderful service than 1 year of explosive service. So it's Krishna's vehicle. We have to take care of it. We have to give it its nourishment. So it's effective, but at the same time we have to use it. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki jai. Go Premanandi.